Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 28th of September, recording at 9:08 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit easier. Not really much heavy selling. Maybe Japan at 1.12% down declined the most. That was the Nikkei. The European stock markets started off quite weak, but then recovered, and then just for the most part closed down very, very slightly. But you could really say that it was almost an unchanged day. And you know, the DAX, for instance, down 0.04%, that's 2.8 points on the DAX index, but it left a big tail to the downside. The Americas were steady, closing out on Wall Street not too far off the highs of the day. Again, we had an early sell-off here, but then closing with gains of just under half of 1% for the for the NASDAQ index. Brazil and Canada and Mexico all closing with similar sized or slightly larger gains. Long-dated government bond prices were firmer in here as well today. Now, so stock markets and bonds are rising. That's interesting. More on that in a moment. The gold action was quite impressive. We had gold bullion fall back early on in the day to 1285, and then it just rallied steadily back up and pushed up to a new dollar high of 1310. Before settling at, well, it's trading after hours here at 1308.70. So a strong performance overall, as you can see. Now, other precious metals showed similar action. We had a good recovery in platinum after an early sell-off. Palladium, which has often been a leader, closing at 563. It's not far off its highs. And the industrial metals were all up on the day here. And sugar, again, closed fairly strong. We saw, crude oil down slightly, natural gas up a little bit. The big negative change here was the grain and bean complex. We had some sharp pullbacks, taking wheat down nearly 22 cents, corn down nearly 13 cents, and soybeans down 18.5 cents on the day. Rough rice, I believe, was slightly higher. Okay. Did I mention the dollar? The dollar is a little bit softer in here today. The Australian dollar is edging up towards that parity level. It's currently at 96.77. Okay, so what's going on overall here? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a stellar performance, and not least because we have short-term overbought conditions, and we have some overextensions among the ASEAN markets, and certainly the South American stock markets, the smaller South American stock markets, not Brazil. So it's been an outstanding performance in recent months by those just mentioned markets. We have seen a terrific month of September. I think we barely had more than one Well, I don't think we've had 2 days on the downside here, but don't hold me to that. certainly the gains have been substantial, and they have taken out some former resistance levels in most instances, and challenged them among the lagging markets overall. Now, we also have a short-term overbought condition for these stock markets, and that may require some additional consolidation over the near term. But I think that really the really important point is just the strength of these overall gains that we have seen in September. This is not the sort of thing you would expect if all those people who were talking about death crosses and Hindenburgs and top formations overall for the last number of months. This is not the sort of action that you would expect if those forecasts were going to be correct. Now, why are stock markets showing this technical strength? And I think, well, there are plenty of good reasons that we have been alert to, fortunately. And one is that interest rates remain extremely low. The Fed in particular has continued its quantitative easing, and so that's pumped lots of liquidity into the system, and that has certainly helped stock markets, because that liquidity is now finding its way to the to stock markets once again. The corporate profit story has been good. The economic forecasts have been dire, but the news has been, well, I don't want to I don't want to gloss over the problems, but it's been less dire than the forecasts were. So basically, I think we've had a lot of investors expecting the worst, a lot of investors therefore on the sidelines or with some significant cash positions, and it just hasn't been that bad. Now, some investors are quite surprised by this, but they shouldn't be, because the evidence has been there all along. I mean, it was really 2.5, even 3 months ago that a number of the fuller money themes started to uncouple from what was happening in the West and in the European stock markets, and started to push higher on their own. And that showed the way. We didn't really have anything that was breaking down significantly. Maybe one or two markets that have had problems. Nigeria was one of them, for instance. But overall, the evidence has been overwhelmingly, or increasingly, I should say, and I don't say I'll withdraw overwhelmingly, but it's been increasingly on the side of the bulls. Now, again, I want to repeat though that we do have that short-term little overbought condition, so don't be surprised if we get some to-ing and fro-ing here for a while overall. But that, in my opinion, would be relatively healthy, and it would correct the short-term overbought condition and set markets up for the strong fourth quarter that I have been expecting. If we run into a little slack, I suspect it will be in the early part of October rather than the latter part, but we'll see what actually happens. If I've underestimated the strength and momentum that we have here right now, and markets just continue to run to the upside, then they would be taking some of the fourth quarter gains relatively early on and getting a consolidation a little later overall. But this is fine-tuning. The big important bottom line message is that the cyclical bull market is resuming, and or has certainly resumed for a number of stock markets, and is looking like it's going to resume for most of the lagging stock markets. Now, there is a small group that will, I think, remain more or less permanently range-bound, and that will include southern European stock markets, for instance, not least Greece. I don't think that's going anywhere. Suffice it to say that all of the progressing markets look in fine fettle, with the exception of China, and that's been a supply story, but the valuations are very attractive, and I expect China to be higher by year end, and I expect it to be significantly higher by year end 2011. Now, moving on to the long dated government bonds, the additional dollop of quantitative easing is helping to keep those yields low. So the rise in yields, the sell-off in long-dated government bond futures that we saw has has been largely reversed. But as we go forward, if stock markets and global GDP growth, which is quite strong in the fuller money theme regions, including China, and it is not as dire as forecast in most of Europe, and certainly not in the best of Europe, which is Germany, and the US does appear quite likely to avoid a double dip recession with the help of the strong progressing markets. So, as people realize that the overall environment is less deflationary than they have been expecting, fearing, or hoping, and that there actually are some commodity-related inflationary pressures out there, I think we will see those long-dated government bond yields back up once again. So, if there's any bubble around today, it is in the long-dated government bonds, and it's a bubble created intentionally, really, by central banks. And all bubbles are eventually deflated, whether it deflates slowly or bursts dramatically. My guess is that it probably deflates slowly but fairly steadily. What slowly? Well, I don't think it'll be a collapse, put it that way. But could be a steady reversal when it actually starts. Now, some of that commodity inflation took a step backwards in here today, mainly those grain and bean prices. But they have done little more, with the exception of wheat, they've done little more than retrace some of the gains that they had seen quite recently. So I don't want to read too much into the action overall, because they are underpinned by quite good base formations. The news item that I picked up on Bloomberg that was used to explain today's action was that the winter wheat plantings are going well in the USA. There's plenty of moisture there, and that is indeed important. So it's a little bit of good news on the weather front, where most of it has been quite alarming, really, thus pushing prices higher. And I certainly don't think that we're in safe territory here in terms of avoiding further food price inflation in the months ahead. Also, demand for most commodities remains really quite strong. We've got copper back up here at 363, 340. I mentioned gold and some of the other precious metals earlier on in this broadcast. But most of the industrial metals are really quite firm overall. Cotton has been soaring. So, again, the scope for commodity price inflation in this environment, when the Western economies are sort of limping along, While the progressing economies are booming, just think what would happen to commodity prices in all probability, or what will happen when we actually see the USA and European economies on a stronger footing. And we will see that. How long it actually takes is the debating point, really. And I'll hark back to that comment that I've mentioned before. It's a quote, really, from various authoritative sources, that when you get a genuine credit crisis, and this has certainly been that, that it does take, on average, 5 to 7 years for those economies to recover. Well, so if we count 2000 and, well, whether you count from the beginning of 2008 or the end of 2008, we are, in the latter stages of 2010, so we could have a few more years of subpar performance before things do start to pick up. That would be if they conform to the historic norm. Maybe the economies do better because of the strength of the progressing regions of the globe. What else to mention? Currencies. The US dollar still remains quite soft. There's growing friction over some of these currency moves. One of the reasons, again, why stock markets are doing so well is because we have negative real interest rates in many of these progressing economies. And Brazil has been very vocal, a spokesman for Brazil has been very vocal today because they don't want to see their currency pushed up too rapidly. Again, in this environment of intense competitive pressures due to globalization, no country wants a strong currency. Some we need a weak currency more than others, and none more than Japan right now, in my view. And a second round of intervention is overdue. I hope they have the common sense to do just that. If you saw that Jim O'Neill broadcast that I posted yesterday, when asked what Japan should really do to get its economy going, I mean, the first thing he said was they should resume the or continue with the intervention. And that strikes me as an obvious point. I couldn't agree more. And he also said that it was ridiculous that Japan had not done far better economically in terms of benefiting from the strong regional growth in Asia. He pointed out that Germany had done better than Japan. Well, that's because the euro took a big fall. And there, I think that Japan will sort this out sooner or later, hopefully sooner rather than later, because it would be good for the global economy to see Japan's GDP pick up as well. And on that note, all the best to all of you. Oh, just one more quick point I mention is that my last day here in the office will be on Thursday. I am heading off to the States, where I'll be at the Contrary Opinion Forum for a week, and I'll then also have a little bit of additional time in the United States, and I'll be back in the office on the 19th. But I'm here on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and look forward to commenting additionally. Meanwhile, all the best.